Anyway, she admired her mother. In fact, she mentioned her a bit, did she?
Oh, they often referred to Mama, all of them.
Oh, that's...
Well, there'd be a reason to.
Yeah, because she got them through, sort of thing.
Oh, yes, she brought them all up, got them all educated. Papa never did anything, you see. Papa, when the shot went, he just stayed at home. He may have helped in the house. It's very doubtful that he did. Very doubtful. Mm. Didn't know anything. Knew a lot about books, of course. Mm. And was literary. But men in those days didn't do any housework. And if you'd been brought up as a gentleman, you didn't.
Mm. So you didn't have a job either?
No. Now he'd set to and do the housework.
Yeah.
I don't for a minute think he would then.
Mm. No, no.
She wouldn't expect it.
No. So really she had the whole burden on her shoulders, really.
A lot. Mm. Oh, indeed, just the same as Annette did.
Mm.
But they weren't the same type of woman.
Mm.
You see, this Hamilton blood wasn't in the mother, it was the other side.
Yes. Yes.
Oh no, the mother was a very hard-working woman, and they thought the world of her, all of them. They all did well in life, yes. Helen, the one I'm named, she became
your mother's sister.
Yes, the young sister. And then you see, you were asking of me, you see, Annette must have carried a lot of the weight of that family. She was the second oldest. And Mama, she had the school. She must have learned then to carry the load.
You think she helped Helen financially?
Or? Oh, well, such money as they had, they share. She hadn't got much, but they helped her. She couldn't have got her MA.
Mm.
There wasn't any BA in Scotland. You know. And she was head of the French department and didn't marry. Pity she didn't, but she didn't. And Peggy married comfortably, and Jack did well until he died, of course. But it was all due to the mother.
Yes, well, that clarifies things a lot. I mean, there's a great belief in education in Scotland, anyway, isn't there? I mean, much more developed than in England.
Tremendous,
No doubt they inherited a lot of that.
And they were all very clever. They could benefit from education, and all did benefit from it.
So Helen became head of French at which school?
A school outside Dublin. She was in Dundee and Glasgow, and then it's in Lanarkshire, actually, and stayed there. She also was a suffragette in Dundee, only to a small extent.
Mm.
Then
you had to be careful, of course, as a school mistress. You couldn't really sort of be too involved, you know. Mm. I mean, that was one of the dangers of being involved. I mean, you just get the sack.
That was it. They helped. There was a Miss Husband who ran an expensive dressmaking establishment. She was a great suffragette, and they helped. They worked with Miss Husband, and they were known to the police, all of them. And well, of course, that was a terrible thing, you see.
Quite.
That was terrible. They were known to the police. They all were, of course, Annette. Then it was when she came to Manchester and had, of course, given up teaching because they didn't take married teachers, and she married Sam Robinson. And came to Ancoats. Well, there was hardly any money at all, you see.
What was he actually doing, Sam, when she married him? Because you said later he tried to be a window cleaner and various
things. Was after the war.
Yes.
I don't know. Somebody said something that he was... It was the ILP was their loving life, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Apart from suffrage, yeah. Whether he had any paid work with the ILP, he must have worked because no one had any money and there was no dole in those days.
Mm.
He must have had odd jobs.
Mm. He had no trade, really. I mean,
no.
Mm.
No, but the absolute extraordinary thing is that at Manchester Cathedral, they lived in Salford, but somebody at Manchester Cathedral offered to train him for the ministry. Yeah. Well, that tells you something, doesn't it? Because they lived in a little back street in Salford. As I say, after the war, he used to take us to see them. And you stepped in off the street, as you do in Salford. And so, something he must have, gifts of some he must have had.
But you say he actually had a stammer, did he, or a stutter?
Oh, terrible.
Really?
Yeah. And of course, I accepted it. Because I didn't know him until he came back in 1990. But you see, when it's yours, it isn't. There's nothing funny about it.
No,
I can assure you, it's just is so. And I used to find, because children learn very quickly, that when he was saying, if I said the word, he said it at once. Extraordinary thing that he would be searching this stamp, and you say it, and he said it. So you see, like all children, you learn faster, like blind people's children, you know. You learn to cope with it and never give it a thought. Never think about it. Queer.
Do you think he was worried about his stammer? Did it worry him? Do you think that's one of the things that made him drink too much? I mean, I wonder quite what led him onto the bottle sort of thing.
Well, that was in early life. I think that was because everybody in Salford did just that.
Yes, just a social...
He never referred to the stammer. I don't remember, except as I say, he said he got it.
Because he's waiting for his father's family.
And I wouldn't know. Mm. But he must have had some kind of work. Mm. But later on, you see, when turned him out, he gradually built up a little tiny business as a manufacturer's agent through the war connection. He got the orders from former soldiers. He was ex-service, it was all true, and that stammer. And he built up a little...
So he didn't go to pot then afterwards. He actually got a bit better, did he?
Well, I suppose you could say. So he always lived in a small... in somebody's back bedroom in a small council house. And, you see... Although he stammered, he could talk, he had vivid imagination. And what my mother in later life, of course, just hated the sight or sound of him. And she always said it was that those perpetual appeals for pity. And he did, for sympathy. He was always asking for sympathy, it's true. Mm. And he got it. Ex-service, you see, and stammering, poor old man, and he asked his wife, you know, she's no better than she ought to be, gone off and left him. I know if it hadn't been for my wife, what I go, oh, I know, you see, but he's my father, and I have a lot of him in me, and I understand now what then I condemned, put it that way. Mm. How else could I have lived? I was brought up to condemn.
Of course, yes. Yes. Could you, I don't know when you were born, Mrs. Wilson.
1911,
yes. So you don't remember a lot of this except from the child's point of view, really, do you?
None of it.
Because your mother died when you were, what?
14.
14, yes.
None of it. Yes. But only when he came back, nothing before the war. Mm. When he came back, was in it, in the midst of it, until he went. But no, it was, of course I was brought up to condemn and despise. What else could she have done? Because what she said was all true. But it's no way to bring anybody up.
Well, no, I suppose not. You can understand. But I mean, I suppose really she should have explained the situation to you and been fair to you and all that. But I mean,
it's impossible. It's impossible. But it's very sad, really, for everybody that it should. And you see, there's nothing he wouldn't say. He'd like to try and spoil a career. I mean,
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
She said, actually, at one point, there's a letter that your mother wrote. It's not dated, but anyway, he says that Sam is burned up with jealousy of my success.
Yeah.
And the fact that the children love me.
That's it.
I mean, he was jealous.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. The vices. Oh, yeah. Mm. Don't for a minute. But yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's true.
Because I suppose, in a way, it was unusual for a husband to have a wife who was better known than himself, really, at that time. And in a way, rather humiliating, I suppose, for a man, you know, with the attitudes of the time.
I suppose so. But really, you know, it's despicable, a lot of it.
Mm.
And anyway, what way she had? She had no option. He wasn't providing any money.
No.
The money had, she had to make it.
Mm.
And she was a very clever, intellectual woman.
Mm.
You couldn't have kept her down.
Mm.
She wouldn't.
What was she like as a mother, Mrs. Wilson? Oh. I mean, looking back on her
marvelous.
As a mother, what was she good as a mother, yeah. Do you think?
Oh, marvellous. She couldn't have had a better mother. But she was all that imagination to tell stories, but hers were just fairy stories. Oh, yes, and the knowledge of literature. And you see, she bathed an extremely good knowledge of literature in me. She was fantastic as a mother. And
did she read you stories and things like that?
Oh,
I mean,
yes, all of, oh, yes, the basis of our English literature. Yes, so, and then, of course, I could read before I went to school. You see, as I say, one takes after one's father. No one had to teach me to read, but I couldn't add up, neither could he. You see, you have something of your mother, but you've also got awful. Figures to her just came naturally. See, everything did.
Mm. So did she actually educate you herself? Really, because she was a trained teacher.
Oh, no, we went to school. Mm. Oh, she wouldn't have had any nonsense like that. But then she was teaching us all the time, so whether she couldn't help it, and we were intelligent and asked intelligent questions and got intelligent replies. But we had formal education, yeah, but she...
did she do that, Mrs. Wilson? Did she sort of going down the street, would she explain things to you, that sort of
everything.
Thing?
Everything.
I mean, yes. Mm.
Oh, everything, and we had a much better general knowledge than other people.
Mm.
And that was before radio and telly, when now they all can. But, and then, of course, we just took to books. It's all mapped, but not some, neither of us took to figures.
There were lots of books in the house, weren't
there?
I mean, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So really, when you got to school, were you better than the other children? Yes. So she did you quite well in that way.
Oh, you couldn't have had a better mother. Besides which, how could she help it? Her intellect was better than the teacher's, than the ordinary class, of course it was. And she had to conceal that. And as for him being jealous, he couldn't have been anything else. His only talent was his reading. But you see, he did. And he knew all of H.G. Wells, and he was alive. He would read avidly H.G. Wells.
Mm.
So
progressive books of the day. Yes.
But very, very weak character. But then I didn't have that stamina. You can't, and I didn't have his father.
If he had a weak character, then why do you think they ever got together in
God
the first place? I mean, she must have realised he had a weak character.
She didn't.
Maybe it was the pity again. Maybe he cashed in on her responsiveness to...
Mm.
Appeals for pity, I mean.
I think so. That was it. There was, the only link was they were genuinely suffragists and the ILP.
Yes.
To their dying day, the ILP was their religion.
Mm.
And in neither case did it fail.
Mm.
Fail them when the time came. Mm. No, it didn't. But yes, she would be sorry for him. And
until she'd been let down too often, sort of thing.
Oh, yeah.
What about the house, Mrs. Wilson? I don't know where you lived in Salford. It was in Salford living, was it?
No, it was Sam's parent.
Mm.
No, when Sam and she married, they set up in a council flat in Ancoats, which is now demolished. It was those would call buildings in London with an outside gallery.
I know. Mm.
And lived there, and then she, of course, rented a perfectly good terraced house in Crumpsall, which was a perfectly good district. Of course, there wasn't any bathroom, but neither did anybody else. But there was a water closet in the backyard, and your own, and little backyard. And it was a perfectly good house. And from there we went to school, and there we lived until everything came to an end. And she was able to get a teaching job in Scotland because they couldn't get anyone to go to the West Highlands, to Loch Torridon. But she, because perhaps they could have had married teachers, but they couldn't then. But she, the only job she could, and she took it, and they took her because she had the Edinburgh Norm, she had her training, she had good teachers, references, good certificates. The LLA was beyond there, it wasn't the LLA, but she was a good teacher, and she had to sign for 2 years, and the children all spoke Gaelic. She didn't speak Gaelic, and the law was they had to be taught in King's English, and half of them were legitimate, they're all called MacDonald, I remember. But when the 2 years were over, and then she got a job back in Fife because she had been a Fife teacher, you see.
I see.
And she had two girls to bring up, and it lasted, 3 months, and she died.
Really? So if I could just clarify, she lived in Ancoats when she first married, then she moved to Crumpsall.
Yeah.
When would that be then?
Well, it must have been during the war.
Yes, I see, yes. And then that was all while she was married to Sam, and then when they separated...
Scotland.
She went up to Scotland then, I see, and took you with her.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, yes, I see.
Nothing else she... what actually she did, when she got this job up in the West Highlands, I went and lived with Aunt Nellie, that's Helen, after whom I'm named, and went to school in Glasgow, and Kathy came. And then, you see, when she got back into Fife, we went and she died. And then we moved. We then went to live with her older sister, Peggy.
Okay? Oh, yes.
And we lived there in Loch Gelly in Fife and trained from there. And but, of course, once you've trained and you've got a job, you've left, haven't you?
Yes, yes. So, in a way, you're a sort of pioneer one-parent family. There are all sorts of one-parent families everywhere nowadays, but you're a very early example of it, aren't you?
Well, my mother was.
Yes, quite, yes. Yeah, that's what I mean. Your mother was one-parent. How did she cope with the domestic side of things? She was able to get help, was she, then, from
Mrs.
paid
Edwards
people?
Did everything.
Yes.
Was very glad to have a roof over her head. She actually received 10 shillings a week in wages and all her keep. Well, she was starving when my mother found her, and she had the only daughter she had was an epileptic in Langhole, that's in Lancashire. And she was a very good cook. My mother was a first class cook. You see, whatever she did,
really,
it was better than other people. Mm. Yes, she was a first class cook. But Mrs. Edwards was a good cook. Oh, yeah.
So she lived in, Mrs. Wilson, did she? In the house, in Crumpsall, was this? Or, yes, yes.
Oh, yeah.
So were you brought up by Mrs. Edwards in a way, or what do you think about that?
Mrs. Edwards was Mrs. Edwards. But with our intelligence, no.
She just sort of did the cleaning things,
right.
Really. Yes, I see.
I told you my sister was very clever. She hadn't a chance. You can see, I don't mean we were nasty little toads or anything. She hadn't a chance.
You mean Mrs. Edwards had So she really just ran the domestic cleaning and that sort of thing. And your mother, did you see a lot of your mother, really? Because she was out earning a lot of this time. I wonder how she coped, you know.
Well, a lot of the meetings were in the evenings, which meant she often didn't get home. But that didn't matter. You see, Mrs. Edwards did everything and put us to bed. That was all right. We were up. But I can remember being very unwilling to go to sleep until I heard my... And once she'd been up, that was it. That's another half of the morning. But I can remember that. Yeah, I wasn't going to sleep until she was in. And then when she was, everything was all well. Of course, you see, the minute that kind of woman appears, everything is all right.
Well, she was your one support, your anchor, really, wasn't she, I imagine, as a child?
Oh, yes. And that's it. She wasn't like other people. And it didn't matter at all that she had to give these meetings. And it didn't matter, not one bit.
Did you ever go to the meetings?
Yeah.
Did she take you with her quite a lot?
When she had to. When we couldn't be parked, or I couldn't be parked. And that was all right. She would go into Marks and Spencer's Penny Bazaar first and buy something, like, intriguing. And that was all right. And anyway, it was a printed word, of course, and it could leave me for hours. And it was never any trouble. We were never any trouble. No.
And you never felt neglected or anything like that?
Oh, no. Good Lord. Oh, no.
Well, that was a real achievement on her part, wasn't it?
Oh, we weren't. Oh, no.
What was she like with you? Was she very affectionate? Mm. How did she... Did you look forward to her coming home or that sort of thing?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's another thing, actually, you answered, really. You see, Nellie is very prominent in those letters. And I didn't know who Nellie was, but Nellie's in fact her sister.
You see, she must have practically brought Nellie up. And she spoilt Nellie to death. In the same way, I have no doubt she spoilt me. All this comes to you later, but Nellie, when anything went wrong, it was Nellie, you see. Get Nellie, right now. And Nellie had a first-class brain, by the way. This was the one who became the French expert.
Mm.
She had a first-class brain. And I think, Anna, there was a very, very strong link. Now, there was not that link between Anna and Peggy. There was very little. It was practically non-existent. They were so different. And the other two were so like each other. And Nellie was of the greatest comfort to her, always.
As yes,
you can see from those letters.
Quite, yes. I mean, in the middle of the worst domestic thing, your mother being a very proud woman, she didn't like talking about this sort of thing, but she'd tell Nellie everything, really.
I think she did, yeah.
So Nellie was clearly an important person.
Tremendous.
In her life.
Tremendous. Mm. Mm.
Because there's a lot of, with all this, there's a lot of the women sticking together, isn't there, about this? I mean, that is, Mrs. Edwards is helped by your mother, Mrs. Edwards helps your mother, and the sisters help each other, and Peggy takes you over when your mother dies, and the women all stick together to deal with these men, don't they?
Also, a very strong sense of duty.
Mm.
Now, Peggy wasn't anti-men. Peggy had a perfectly very happy marriage. There was also a very strong sense of duty. And when my mother went back to Scotland, Mrs. Edwards was, of course, an old lady, must have been about 75. And the old age, she couldn't have the old age pension because she didn't own anything. And my mother, who needed the money, gave her all the furniture in the back bedroom that she'd had and found a woman to take her in. And she got her 10 shillings a week, which made all the difference.
So she stayed in Crumpsall or in Manchester?
No, it was actually Manchester.
Yes, yes, but while you went off to Scotland.
Oh, yes, because you see, that was it.
Yes,
there was no more connection. But my mother found her a place, gave her all the contents of the bedroom so that she'd get her 10 shillings a week. She was very, very kind, my mother. Very, very kind and very generous. And you see, she was worthy of God knows what she married him for. she could have had such a happy life and a family life. I mean, what she actually had was what would now be called a hell of a time.
She had a sense of humour, didn't she? Because yeah. I think somewhere. Oh, well, this is a bit one of the obituaries I read. She had an exquisite sense of the ridiculous.
Killing.
So that she found the funny side in life.
Killing. Yeah. Passed it on. She had. She had the most appalling sense of the ridiculous. That let her down at times, you know. And I remember thought we were throwing stones in Derbyshire at the water. There was a great notice about you'd be trespassed, you'd be prosecuted if we got fed up with these things. And she picked up herself and said, oh, something or other. And the keeper jumped up and behind him, following him. And she gave him one incredulous look and started to roar with laughing. He could have killed her. He could have shot her. Oh, it really was too funny. He'd been following her. And you see, to see a grown woman pick up in dead aim, you got it in the middle. Yes.
Of course, yes. She'd probably been, I don't know whether she'd broken windows, had she, as a suffragette. I mean, she probably had good training.
Well, she actually chained herself to the railings at Holloway. Hyde Park, but she left. She definitely broke with Mrs. Pankhurst.
Yes, can you tell me about that? I meant to ask you about that. Do you know when and why she broke?
Really? I think it was when they committed sedition by blowing up Lloyd George's foundation to the new house.
Yes, I know.
And she had served 6 weeks at Holloway, she must have come out of it and. Then Kathy was born in 1909.
She's your eldest sister, was your eldest
sister. And I was born 1911. And she continued to work for the suffragettes, but she couldn't do these. You see, they really did go too far. But this attitude today among the young, intelligent women, oh, what a way to carry on. They'd have got the vote long before they hadn't carried on with that. And I had, I could kill them. I've said to them, if you really think they'd have got the vote without all the things we think, because they wouldn't. And then you see they say, and Lord George gave it them after the war. He was terrified they'd start all over again. That was why Lord George jumped at the chance. And he invited Mrs. Pankhurst to breakfast to celebrate. And she said, last time I came here, I came in at the window. Which was then down.
But did your mother, you say that Pankhurst actually broke with her, or she broke with the Pankhurst, and they didn't ever have any contact after that?
Once, you see, you won't know Mrs. Hannah Mitchell.
Oh, yes. I meant to ask you
wonderful
about
wonderful old lady.
Yes.
Well, Mrs. Hannah Mitchell said, it wasn't only your mother. She said the Pankhurst finished with everybody who left the militants, and they never took any more notice of any of them, including Hannah Mitchell. Was a side she didn't like of the Pankhurst, but then the Pankhurst wouldn't have done what they did if they'd had.
Oh yes, and there's a lot to be said for what the Pankhurst do. I'm just interested to know. Yes, your sister actually. I mean. You didn't say what happened to her. How did she cope with the situation that you were faced with? You know, she was a bit older than you.
2 years.
Yes, when your mother died. What did she do, Mrs. Wilson?
Well, she went to Glasgow University. She took her MA and then she taught and then she married. And she had 3 children. And Andrew... It was really sad. He'd got his doctorate. He was with ICI, it was physics. And he died of disseminated sclerosis in his early 40s. We're not a lucky family. And she brought the 3 of them up. And then she died.
I see. So there are still, there are 2 younger ones still alive.
Her children.
Your nieces and nephews.
Well, how did you know there was only one, only 2 alive, not 3?
Well, you said the elder one died of muscular dystrophy or whatever it was.
No, Kathy's husband died of muscular
dystrophy. Oh, his husband, I see, sorry. I thought it was the son, I see. So there are how many children then?
Three, but one of them died.
Really?
Just after his mother.
Oh, goodness.
Yes, it's not a lucky family.
I see.
Yes, Kathy happened, so she had to bring her three up.
Yes.
Just the same way, but then Andrew had died, you see.
That was a different reason, really.
Yeah, it was.
Yes, a nice tea. I wondered how she coped. I mean, it's a very difficult age to be orphaned. I hardly need to tell you, at the age of 14, and even more difficult at 16. Mm. How did you both cope, actually?
Not very well, but well enough.
Mm.
You don't, of course, as you've said, but well enough.
Mm.
And then, you see, we weren't accustomed to having your mother there all the time, you know. That made a difference.
Mm. Mm. Still, you must have wondered whether all your anchors were going to go. I mean, you only had one anchor and she'd gone.
Mm.
It must have been an awful time for you.
In a way, yeah, you know, I don't think young people suffer as much as older people think they do. Really.
Mm.
I think you live in the present. Nature sees to it.
Yes.
It's only a theory, but...
No, I think there's a lot in that, actually. I can support that with my own mother, who was orphaned and rather enjoyed being an orphan, actually. But was Peggy good with you?
Oh, yeah. Mm. Oh, yeah.
You just sort of became a member of the family, really, did you, until you...
In as far as you ever do, but you see, with the great handicap of being English.
Ah, yeah, she really was still Scottish, was she, Peggy? I mean, your mother had become English... Anglicised, really, had she when
no,
she moved
but you
out?
See, with an English father, we were born in Manchester.
I see.
We're English.
Yes, I see, yes.
And had English accents.
Mm.
And that was a great handicap.
Mm. So you felt a bit of an outsider in a way, did you?
Well, we were. Mm. The Scots don't like the English.
Mm. Mm.
The English like the Scots.
Mm.
The Scots don't like the English. Oh, yes, we were English, right outside the pale.
What about Sam, though? Because he was still alive, was he? Mm. Did you ever see anything of him later?
Very little. Oh, when I came back to Manchester, I got a job back. When I left, I trained in Dundee. There weren't any jobs in Scotland. This was 33. But Sam knew what strings to pull, and we pulled them. And I got a job in Manchester. And, yes, I used to see him pretty regularly.
So he still took responsibility for you, really? I mean, helping you get a job and things like that?
Oh, yeah.
Hmm.
That was all.
And there you were a teacher, were you?
Yes, to all children.
Yes.
Yes.
So...
you see, by that time, by 33, the people that my mother had worked with were at the top. You see, Wright Robinson was chairman of the education committee. Hannah Mitchell was on the education committee. And my name was enough. They wouldn't have cared, but mind you, the law was such I had to have proper qualifications that had to be scrutinised. They made that. You see, I went for an interview that they got me in Manchester at the education office, Miss Atkinson, the chief inspector, and she made it very plain that if I hadn't got the plot, I could push off. If there was anything, she more or less said, if there was anything going on, she says, I hadn't got, well, she needn't have worried. And I just said, oh, it's quite all right.
You mean you've got all the qualifications?
Of course, I had. And that was it. So, but
because jobs were very scarce then, weren't they? I mean, it wasn't
very
easy.
Hard to get. No, in Scotland, some of them were out and didn't work for years. But you see, my mother had worked with Hannah Mitchell and Wright Robinson. She'd worked with them, and by Jove, they didn't have to do with it. And not only did I get a job, but I got it in Willenshaw, And Withinshaw was Manchester satellite town. Lovely and modern and airy. Imagine what Manchester city schools are like. I started out there. Yeah. Not that I blame them. They'd all come up the hard way.
Well, there are plenty of things helping the other side, so why shouldn't they help their own
side?
Why can't
they help their own?
So how long did your father live, Mrs. Wilson?
He was 66, which was about 19th, it was before the war, 38, was it?
Really? And then he just died of sort of old age, did he?
Oh no, cancer of the throat.
Really? Oh, good.
Well, he was an incessant smoker and an incessant drinker.
Yeah.
Would you like some more tea? The pot's
full. No, that's
full.
Fine, thank you. No.
Would you like some more cake?
No, that's lovely. It's just what I like, thank you.
Oh, it's not so dry, is it?
No, not at all.
Oh, no.
So, well, did he have a long illness? Did you get involved in that?
Oh, I went to see him. He was in Christie's. Christie's is the big Manchester cancer hospital.
Mm.
And, no, he was fine. He sort of was sent to a consultant and he did the old soldier act, he'd been in the war too, and said, how long have I got? And the man said, 6 weeks. And he died in 6 weeks. And they let him smoke. And he was all right, perfectly happy at Christmas.
What was his attitude to your mother? I mean, how does the story end up? I mean, it's a real story, this, really, isn't it? Does he look back on your mother with affection at the end of his life, or what?
Shame
at his own behaviour.
It would have died before he would have admitted it.
Mm.
But what? I know now.
Mm.
See, you don't know all this when you're young.
No.
No. But I know it. Oh, yes. Wishing he'd never married her. Wishing he'd never let her marry him.
Mm.
Yes. You see, he shouldn't have married anyone.
Mm.
But she shouldn't have married him.
No. Mm.
They both wronged each other
by
that marriage.
Mm.
He'd have been as happy, unmarried, telling his sob stories and getting sympathy. Really happy. And he'd probably by the end he knew it. And she should have married somebody of her own mettle, her own ability, and the wrong was marrying each other, wasn't it?
Yes, well, these things happen, don't they?
Mm.
Yes. What did your mother die of, actually? I don't know.
she was only 51. She had what she thought was indigestion, but was gallstone, and she was taken away in the night. Now, today, she probably wouldn't have died. She died on the operating table. She just, her heart gave away. It was gallstones. But now, you know, I mean, plenty of people have gallstones and live to be old.
Mm. So, well, they can just sort of dissolve them now, can't they, by giving you something to take, you know.
Her heart actually wouldn't stand the anaesthetic. And whether it was being a suffragette that damaged her heart, I don't know. But she did know that her heart, and she said to Mary Wells, she would have an operation and die of it, and so happened. She had a kind of second sight, and that's just exactly what did happen. And she knew. But they've learned since then. You know.
Oh, yeah. What about religion, actually, Mrs. Wilson? Was your mother a religious woman in any way, do you think?
No, they were anti. All of them were... they said they were atheists, but if anyone lived a Christian life, she did. You see, a lot of these professional atheists lead a better Christian life, and they did. But oh no, she wanted nothing to do with any form of organised religion, and saw to it that we went to Sunday school. That was the gift of it, so she could have some peace on Sunday afternoon. We went to Sunday school. But she saw to it that anything we might have learnt was undone.
How did she do that?
Well, I remember a minister getting very impassioned about the two little devils on his shoulders, one on each shoulder. And it isn't stealing, it's only pinching, you see. And on the way home, little girl said to me, "Oh, knock those devils off, my mother'll shout." And I went, I could see this, and I told him, of course, you couldn't stop laughing, you could. And then I said, "But there aren't any, are there?" And he said, "So if you saw to it, there's no more illusion about the black devil." Oh, and other things, you know. Oh, yes, but of course, that's nonsense. Yeah. Mm.
But she didn't actually attack religion all the time. I mean, it's just that she undid any damage somebody else did.
That's
sort of
right.
Thing. Yes,
yes. Who believe in virgin births and ascensions unto heaven and all this. But oh no, it just don't want, of course, it's impossible, you know. No, she wouldn't have cast fun on people. But of course, her favourite story was that the first day I went to Sunday school, I came home and said, "There's the father, the son, and what do you call the other gentleman?"
What about her looks? I suppose it's difficult for you to say.
Good looking woman.
What does she look like, and how does she dress and things like that? I mean, do you remember that?
Well, Ellen Wilkinson said the only thing Annette wasn't interested in was clothes, but Annette was. Annette tried to see that we liked clothes. For herself, she wasn't all that bothered. But, oh yes, and we would have piano lessons and dancing lessons and clothes. She was interested in clothes. She was a good-looking woman, but she never had any time for her appearance. Her hair was just screwed back. And when she went to the dentist, who was a kindly man, he told her she wasn't making the best of her appearance. And she thought this was a joke, you see. Well, actually, it wasn't. He was telling her, one friend to another, and it was true, because she just got it back in a bun. And nowadays, her friends would persuade her to go to the hairdresser, wouldn't they? But she hadn't got time to bother. But she had been a perfectly good-looking woman. See, Nellie was very smart. Nellie had all the French chic, and would spend hours ironing a blouse or crimping the colour, seeing that her gloves were perfect, you see. Well, Annette never had the time or the inclination for any of that.
No, I don't blame her, actually, do you? I mean,
no. She'd better things to do.
Mm. Quite, yes.
She'd better things to do. That was it. More interesting things to do.
Mm. Anyway, she wasn't pursuing the men. I mean, she had enough of men, actually.
Never. I wouldn't know, would I? But I never saw her painted interest in any man. Mm. But then,
she had enough.
Opportunity probably never arose anyway.
No. Mm. But in the home, was she tidy? Did she keep the home well? Or were the papers sort of spread everywhere and so on? How do you remember the home being?
Oh, perfectly honest. See, Mrs. Edwards was always there.
Mm.
But, you wouldn't say she was an untidy woman. No.
Mm.
She had she worked at the office in Albert Square.
I see, yes. Yes.
That was at headquarters, the Women's Freedom League, or Women's International League.
Mm.
And very few, I don't think she brought any papers home. Did it all there. But she wasn't what you'd call ultra-tidy, but she wasn't untidy.
Mm.
No.
Was she at all particular about the home? I mean, did she fuss about the home at all, really?
Oh, well, she liked it clean.
Mm.
Oh, not obsessive or anything.
No.
Oh, she liked it clean, and she knew all about cooking.
Yes, what did, when you say that, she did her own cooking, did she? Or
only when she was at home, Sunday dinner. She loved making Sunday dinner. And I think that was, but she could make lovely gingerbread. Of course, later on she was doing all her own when she was teaching again. And enjoyed doing it. Oh, yeah.
I was wondering how she coped up in Scotland, because she didn't have a Mrs. Edwards there, did she? How did she manage that?
She'd like to do it herself. You see, it was so lonely. And the water came in from out, we went for the water. And there was a great big kitchen range that ate coal, but what she did was she got two primer stoves and balanced an oven along the top and cooked that way.
Mm-hmm.
Much more sensible, that thing, ate.
coal. And then you see the, she was very kind to the fishermen's wives and children, and they used to bring her part of the catch. She actually lived on fish. They had no money, but they returned kindness. I've buried many a cod, because you see, they give you a cod, you know. And she didn't dare let them know, but we've bedded many a cod in there. And you see, we were there in the holidays, not in the... And one woman, she'd been, I don't know what she'd done, whether she'd helped at the birth or something, I don't know, probably. And the fisherman gave her a lobster, and of course that was a terrific thing, because he could sell the lobster.
Mm.
You see, down the coast at Mallee, I remember this lobster, and that she took it. You see, she'd rather have said, no, sell it, but no, she took it.
We don't want to give offence in that situation. So, I'm not quite clear where she was. What was the name of the place?
It was Loch Torridon. It's opposite Skye, Ross. Oh, yeah. Russia,
mm-hmm.
West of Ross.
And she was there, what, for about
two years.
2 years. And you went to school...
In Glasgow.
I see, and then in the holidays you went, yes, up to her. So, and where was she living, Mrs. Wilson?
Oh, in the schoolhouse. There's always a schoolhouse attached, you know.
I see.
Still is. Mm. They built the school, and the schoolhouse were built in the one unit, and they still are. Of course, they're closing them now. Oh yes, she lived. The house is attached. It's still there. I believe it's a youth hostel now.
And she was popular with the local people, was she? I mean, sounds as if she was, from what you're saying.
Oh yes, they didn't want her to go, and she got them doing a little play, Campbell of Kilmore. Oh yes, and she was helped them, you see. She had this tremendous sympathy for the poor and the underdog. She always had. And there was plenty of scope there. Oh yes, they didn't want her to go. I don't know what they got after, I've never heard.
Then she went on to where from there?
Fife.
To Fife, as it where she'd been before.
To us. Yes. Country school called Flisk on the Tay, North Fife, and it only lasted a very short time, and she died. It was very sad, that, because she'd got us back with her, and we were going to school in Dundee.
I see, yes, that is a pity. Yes.
Yeah, it was a pity, that, but that was, she didn't have an easy life ever, you see, and of course, life wasn't all that easy then, but it's always been easy for a few, hasn't it?
But looking back, you became a school teacher yourself. Mm. What do you think of her as a school teacher? Do you think she was a good school teacher?
Oh yes, she was. Mm.
I mean, because you didn't see her in the classroom, I suppose.
Oh yeah, I did.
Did you?
When we went to Allegan, it was called, in West of Ross, the holidays didn't always coincide.
Mm.
And she used to take me in. Glad she did, and to help, you see. I was 12, 13, and I did, liked it. Oh yes, she was. She had them doing all sorts of things, and it was in English. Mm.
She was good at getting on with young people, was she, and sort of using her initiative and things like that. That's interesting, because you must now think about that a bit. You've seen what it's like teaching.
Yes.
You must sort of sympathise with her.
Oh yes, she was. Mm. It wasn't easy. Of course, I don't know. Class teaching is. I mean, it couldn't be. I mean, how could it be? You're not teaching them anything if it's easy. Mm.
No, quite. No, absolutely.
really, and nowadays, when they've got to fight the children to teach them, it seems to be. But you've got students who are there because they want to be.
Yeah, I'm very lucky in that way, yeah. I suppose. Yes, yes.
You're not.
That's most interesting. Is there anything else you think about your mother you think's important to bring out about her? I mean, that we haven't mentioned, because I never knew her, whereas you did.
Well, is she the burning sense for injustice? Not for, never complained about herself, never self-pity, but and a much clearer perception than most people, and 100 years ahead of her time, whatever that, always, and so completely receptive to the newest and most modern ideas of the time, and
also a great admirer of H.G. Wells.
Was she? Yes.
Because he was a socialist, you know.
Yes, yes.
And they were convinced socialists. Mm. And it was because of what she'd seen of the poor people's lives, both Scotland and England, that that's why she was a socialist, because of the terror she'd seen, real sort of hunger and poverty. And wanted to help, was a burning desire to help. And I suppose Sam had too, he must have had. Mm.
Yeah. What sort of things did she do for the fisher women
in
Scotland?
Well, it would be when babies were due, she was providing baby clothes. You see, there was great poverty. She'd be providing baby clothes and helping them to knit, showing them how to sew, showing them how to knit, and she'd go and... It wouldn't all be that. Some of it, as I say, she got this play up.
Mm.
And
they knew she was on their side, really. I mean, yes. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
So you had the impression when you went up there that she was a popular local...
Well, the old bastard before her had more or less died of drink.
Really?
Well, I never saw him, how did she, but he'd been there about 30 or 40 years, and of course he ended on the bottom, because it was whiskey in Scotland, they died of whiskey. And, it'd been pretty bad before I think he did die, or they got him out, but they'd had a pretty shocking time. So that they were more than glad to realise early on that she was quite different, which of course she was.
Mm.
They were very pleased to have her.
Didn't her religious sort of views cause trouble? I mean, you know what the Scots are like, you know, Scots Presbyterianism and so on. Didn't that cause difficulty?
She kept it quiet.
Did she?
They were wee frees. That is, there was a church, and they won't even have an organ, because that's sinful. The presenter has a tuning fork. Oh, he went, and he had this tuning fork, and he does this. But of course, we sat entirely impassive. We weren't daft either. And he tuned this thing, and then they could allow to sing a hymn. And they would not row on Sunday. They won't fish. The wee frees won't do anything on Sunday. No, she just kept it to herself. And then we went over one day in the rowing boat to see, not a Sunday of course, and over to Loch Carron, the Presbyterian, not we free, Presbyterian minister. And, no, nothing. She said nothing whatever that was going to upset anyone. But then she wouldn't.
Mm.
You see, she wouldn't. Among your friends, yes, but offend people and upset them, no.
Mm.
Wasn't any need.
Well, that fits with what you say about her being a kind person. Really? Yes.
Very.
Yes. Well, that's splendid. That really sort of sets that correspondence in context. You know, I felt, you see, when I read it in the library, I thought, well, first of all, I thought how splendid that, you know, the owners allowed it to be there, because I think it's a great help to people to have free access to things like that. But also, I thought, what a pity, I'd like to know the daughter's view of all this.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
And that's one reason why I wanted
to see me.
To see what you thought.
Yes, well, it's a very sad story, actually.
It is.
In actual fact. She must have suffered terribly. Well, she did, I mean, I know that. And it was all very unfortunate. And nowadays, you see, divorce is all so much easier, isn't it? People can just... Oh, I've made a mistake, but you couldn't then, you know.
Do you think, looking back on your life and your sister's life, was it sad in its effect on you, really? I mean, you say you didn't mind as a child as much as adults tend to think.
No.
Do you think it did harm to you, either of you?
I think the harm to me came from forgetting honour thy father and thy mother. I think they should have kept it to themselves. Perhaps the poor woman couldn't. They should not bring a daughter up to despise her father. It doesn't do you any good, it doesn't do him any good.
Mm.
And in later life you regret it, which I do. Mm. I know it's all true, but you shouldn't know, they should have just tried to forget all. You see, I got it from both aunts as well, you see, who of course...
Peggy and...
Nelly. They couldn't forgive him for what he'd done to their sister. How could they? And Annette, of course, had a very bad... because you have an awful... You've got to get it off, you've got to get rid of it. You have that attitude to men, you see. You see, there wasn't any man, if you think about it. There were no brothers. Aunt Peggy, she had a husband. But you see, by that time I was 14, and hardly, it didn't mean anything to me. And I found it very difficult in later life.
Of course,
to adjust.
But there's no blame attaching to you personally. No. It's just the situation that's made that, isn't it?
Very difficult.
Yes. How about your sister? I mean, did she cope all right, you see?
I think she coped better than I did.
Because it's not exactly an easy start in life. And of course, it would have been so much easier in a way, I suppose, if your mother had lived, wouldn't it? Though in a way it might not, because then you might have felt stuck to her. I mean, you might have felt you wouldn't have been able to leave her.
I probably wouldn't have wanted to. I think Kathy probably... Yeah, I think she did. But I found it a great handicap, but that there hadn't been a man that I loved and admired and liked. And they just, you know... you get a kind of fixation on women.
Of course,
that you've got to overcome.
Yes.
But that's nothing.
But still, it is, as you say, it's a sad, sad story. But on the other hand, I mean, she had a career that's interesting. I mean, people are going to be interested in her, I think.
Oh, yes.
And that's one reason for getting all the information about her kept preserved.
Yes.
I noticed, incidentally, in the letters that they were very affectionate when your mother was in prison. She remember those letters she writes to Sam saying, you know, are you eating enough?
Hannah Mitchell said it wasn't until it was after she'd been in prison. You see, I used to visit Hannah Mitchell. She lived to be a very old lady and very lonely. 85, she died finally, but I used to go as opposite Cribbett's right over in North Manchester Clayton. And she was very nice. I liked the old lady. And I was glad to do it because when Hannah came to Ancoat, she didn't know anybody at all. And Hannah Mitchell was a friend of Sam's. They'd worked together, ILP, and she befriended Hannah. So in later life, when I discovered that Hannah Mitchell was very lonely and very old, I repaid it, you see. I was able to befriend her and was very glad to do it. I don't know whether you know that Hannah Mitchell and Sam Robinson, Christabel served the first prison sentence after the agitation free trade hall, and Mrs. Pankhurst wanted to pay the fine, but Christabel and Annie Kenny wouldn't have them paid, and they went to strange ways, and my father and Hannah Mitchell walked in from Ashton-under-Lyne, and he walked in from Salford, and they got there for 6 o'clock in the morning to meet them when they came out of prison. And in a film that they did on the telly about the women, they had a cab outside strangely waiting for the women. Oh no, there wasn't.
They had just two people.
I don't know who else was there. I don't know, but they were. And they must have got up about 5 o'clock in the morning or before and met them. But no, while she was in prison, oh yes, they are the letters of a woman in love.
Certainly, that's what I thought. It must have gone wrong after that. Well, of course, they'd only just been married, hadn't they? So it would be rather surprising.
Well, it was after that when he never got any work and couldn't keep them and she had to get work. It was after that. Yes, it's good those letters have been preserved, you know. Because, oh yes, she'd evidently been in love with him. And there it is.
Did she sort of try to make you into a feminist at all, and did she keep on educating you about women's position and things.
I suppose you could say, yeah.
And did she emphasise that to you very much?
I suppose so, yeah.
Mm.
Just came natural to her, you see.
Mm.
And came natural to us too.
Mm.
I suppose you could say that. Mm. Yeah.
Mm. Mm. Well, it's very interesting. Well, I'll give you a copy of this so that you can think about it and you can correct.